I was talking to a young man once when I was sitting on a beach far away from the city. At the end of our conversation about Christian Science, I said, now when you get back to the city, there's a reading room that's very close to where you live. Go in there and either purchase or borrow some of the Christian Science literature. The librarian will help you. He looked at me in astonishment. He said, you mean I can go in there? Now, where did that thought come from? From him, or was it our sense of exclusivity? Now, lest anyone is wondering what handling the beliefs of your community has to do with your individual growing, if you're holding moral concepts in thoughts, you're holding yourself in materiality. In the process of climbing from sense to soul, you have to remove everything from your human consciousness that would help keep you earthbound. As we go forward, we have to keep unseeing all the material thoughts that would try to creep into consciousness and keep us from being at one with the Father and seeing and expressing His love clearly. Mazzetti once made a statement, handling animal magnetism is the only way to salvation. Now notice she says the only way to salvation. She doesn't say, no, the truth is the way to salvation. Handling animal magnetism. Now what I've just been talking about right now would be handling some of the beliefs of mortal mind, which is animal magnetism. We must see Mazzetti right. She kept telling her workers, you must understand me. We must not let error make us lose sight of her and her position in the world. The success of church depends on it. All the knowledge that there is in the textbook and her other writings, isn't that, Mrs. Eddy? In Revelation, it talks about the two golden candlesticks, each shining in its own mission. And Jesus, when he left, said that he would be sending another comforter. And greater works than these shall ye do. Isn't the founding of the movement and all its ramifications greater works? And isn't it animal magnetism unhandled that would try to destroy this and keep it from blessing the world? Mazzetti saw that this might happen. Listen to these remarks she made to her household from time to time. This is a mental age. Malpractice would attempt to dominate. And unless Christian Scientists are awake and alert, it will hold back Christian Science for centuries. If you do not feel the danger and think everything is all right when seemingly all is wrong, you'll not be watching with God. You must rise to the point where you can destroy the belief of mesmerism, or you will have no cause. I cannot do it for you. You must do it for yourselves. And unless it is done, the cause will perish, and we'll go along another 1900 years with the world sunk in blackest night. The workers in the field are not healing because they're not meeting the animal magnetism which says they cannot heal. It is animal magnetism to say there is no animal magnetism. If you say so ignorantly, you are to be feared. If you say so intentionally, you ought to be avoided. If a person says, I'm not troubled by animal magnetism, it never bothers me, beware. That's why it's not arrayed against him. He's in it. And again, let me repeat, handling animal magnetism is the only way to salvation. The sum and substance of Mrs. Eddy's teaching was to show us how to effectively handle animal magnetism. Everything that she taught was to give you the ammunition you need to effectively unsee every phase of mortality and evil that parades in the world. At present, it seems that every form is being thrown against the Christian Science movement designed to destroy it. But it's only effective if it affects the individual. By not handling it, our thought becomes darkened. We lose the light, the church loses its collective light, the movement doesn't grow. Animal magnetism isn't anything new. The Bible is a continuous account of handling it. It's an adventure story. The good guy against the bad guy. And this repeats all the way through the Bible. The bad guy is always the devil in some form. The good guy always wins. We've been sort of losing the last 10 to 15 years. Study programs in individual churches are turning the picture around. There's a lot more work to do. We must wake up and learn to recognize evil in operation and to see it as nothing, but not ignore it, because it thinks it has power. And if we ignore it, we might be duped to thinking it does have power and therefore yield to it. Bicknell Young once said, "The Church of Christ Scientist stands as a beacon light in a community, seeing no evil, no error, no suffering. As the light clearly shines, innocent of materiality, it will attract everyone who's ready to receive the light. But if you let your thought dwell on the plights of your community, you're losing the light, the attracting force. It's only your spiritual altitude and ability to think and practice correctly that determines the success of your church." Some time back, a friend of mine was traveling in the Midwest, and he stopped in a small city on a Wednesday night. And the Christian Science Church there, he said, was a very dark church. It was small. It was uninspired. It was a heavy service. And he said when he was leaving, back in the corner was a little lady sitting in a wheelchair looking very miserable. And he felt impelled to go up and talk to her for a little while, and then he went on his way. A year or so later, he was appointed a lecturer. And several years later, he was invited to lecture in this community. And when he got there, he wasn't in that dark, uninspired church. He found himself in a big, bright auditorium. It was packed to the rafters, and he says there was a wonderful spiritual atmosphere there. And he said it was a marvelous experience. And he said after the lecture, a very bright and happy woman came up to him and introduced herself to him and said, "You probably don't even remember, but several years ago, I was in this church when you visited. I was in a wheelchair, and you stopped and talked to me." She said, "My healing built this church." Now, the interesting thing about this is that this woman was a member of a very prominent family in this small city. And one Sunday, she and her husband and children were out for a Sunday afternoon drive, and the car was hit by a freight train. Everybody in the car except herself was instantly killed. She was badly hurt and was taken to the hospital, where she lay for months, not having any improvement. And then somebody brought her a copy of Science and Health. And she started reading it. And little by little, she made progress to the point where she was able to leave the hospital and go to the home of a relative. And every Wednesday and Sunday, she had a cab driver take her to church. Some of the members of the church weren't very happy about this because there was a long row of stairs outside the church. Now she's had to go down to the cab and lift her out in her wheelchair and bring her up to the church, and they were afraid that the neighbors would see that and it wouldn't be a very good advertisement for Christian Science. But she knew that, but she came anyway. At the time that my friend stopped and talked to her, she was getting very discouraged because improvement seemed to have stopped. But after the talk, she was more inspired and she started working with a lot more vigor. He talked to her toward the end of summer. And that Thanksgiving, when the congregation left the church, they saw her standing beside her wheelchair at the back of the church. She'd been completely healed. Now, as I said, she was well known in that town. And as she went around the town after that, people knew the problem that she'd had and asked about her healing. And she kept telling them about Christian Science, so that it healed her, and people got interested. And so many people started coming to the church, but the church couldn't hold them. And they had to build this newer church. Now, we may not have to go through the discomfort of a physical problem like that, but we all must grow to the point where we have demonstrated the same consciousness that she did. That not only freed her, but resulted in a blessing for her community. And that's true church growth. Through true church building, we build the concept of being in our own individual consciousness, and then it objectifies. It's the growth of each individual that makes churches grow. And one last thing that's very important. We've been talking about the growth of branch churches. In the same way that the branches of a tree stem from the trunk and are healthy only if the trunk and its roots are healthy, branch churches stem from the mother church. During this last year, Animal Magnetism has been having a field day with many members making them very upset with what they think is going on in Boston. And it's certainly not helping the success of the Mother Church or the growth of the individuals that have allowed themselves to get into this mental state. Remember, I said church requires the loving prayers, not the malpractice, of all its members in order to be successful. If someone came to any of us and asked us to heal him in Christian Science, and that individual was doing things that we didn't like, if we got ourselves all disturbed about it and condemned him, we wouldn't be doing an effective job of healing. We've got to see the perfect man, the perfect church. A perfect mind is the only mind anywhere. We need to look upon church this way, whether it's a branch church where somebody's upset with what a board is doing, or with the mother church where somebody's upset with what the board's doing there. We pray to unsee the errors that are being presented in order to remove them from our consciousness. The error is never over there. It's our consciousness. If we're aware of it, it's our consciousness, and that's where the work goes on. As we clearly see love in perfect operation in our consciousness, we'll see in our human experience love in perfect action right where our church seems to be. Mrs. Eddy is quoted in the We Knew Mary Baker Eddy series as saying, "I saw the love of God encircling the universe and man, filling all space. And that divine love so permeated my consciousness that I loved with Christ-like compassion everything I saw." This realization of divine love called into expression the beauty of holiness, the perfection of being, which healed and regenerated and saved all who turned to me for help. Let's wholeheartedly accept and express that love, shall we? Thank you.